Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 80. Here with the one and only sign guy who'll make you so high, he'll take you to the sky. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right today, Coach.
Could you please introduce our guest and ask him the first timer question, please?
Our guest is the Real Talk holder of many championship belts, Rashad Tyson. Welcome to the Coach Mike Jones podcast. And Coach likes to know, for the first timers, how did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Hey, thank you for having me. Can you guys hear me?
You're welcome. Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Right, perfect. Thank you. Well, thanks for having me. First off, I got into this business about 5 years ago, 6 years ago in Spokane. Kind of stumbled across it and started training with some of the Spokane locals who are kind of bigger stars in their area now. And long story short, yeah, been doing it ever since.
Nice, man. You've come a long way. And I remember you were on the NGW Northwest Pro Show with Wes Briscoe.
Possibly. How long ago was that?
We had a Wes Briscoe seminar there in Tacoma.
Oh, I might not have been there. How long ago was that?
Okay. Geez, that was in 2017, I think. My goodness, it's been a while.
I started training in 2017. I don't think I was, I was like still in Spokane at the time. I could have been, though. Like,
okay.
Many shots ahead have made me forget lots of things.
It could have been 2018 also. Anyway, man, you've come a long way, and we appreciate your time and you giving us this interview. So here we go, brother. We would like to know,
who were your
heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, wrestling, and all the above.
All the above. Wow. First and foremost, both my parents, they have sacrificed so much for me to even be where I'm at right now. I feel like it feels like a cliche to say your parents, but like my mom and my dad have always been my biggest heroes and my biggest supporters to this day. Outside of the family circle, though, probably The Rock. Just always loved the way how he carried himself. I kind of pattern a lot of what I do in this business around how he carried himself and how he came up, and I always feel like he was kind of a role model to me growing up, at least.
Nice. Okay. And then what about in sports and music?
Oh, man. Like, I always worry about saying these kind of things because, like, I don't want to get a lot of heat from anyone, but I was always a big Tom Brady fan. I love Tom Brady. Tom Brady's my guy. And, like, you know, I grew up watching a lot of football, too, and if it wasn't Tom Brady, it was probably Sean Alexander. Like, that Seahawks squad was so much fun to watch.
Yeah,
And then, like, just staying within the realm of sports, like, Rashard Lewis and Gary Payton on the Sonics when they were here.
Oh,
I remember watching them growing up, and man, those were some fun basketball to watch. A lot of my heroes, I would say, are athletes. Just it takes a lot of dedication to try to perform at the highest level, you know.
Right on. Okay. Now, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I played a lot of recreational basketball with my friends. I was on the basketball team when I was in middle school and a little bit in high school. I wrestled all 4 years of high school, played tennis the last 3 years of high school. Actually, I played tennis all 4 years of high school. Did a lot of skateboarding when I was growing up. Played a lot of sports, always stayed really active. Friends and me had a good group of people, but I wasn't on the team. It kind of conflicted with tennis. with that being said, though, I played a lot of sports growing up, between basketball, tennis, and like all sorts of wrestling, freestyle, folk style. I did a little Roman Greco too. A lot of sports growing up though. Kept me pretty active.
Okay. Nice. And then what's your self-defense background besides all those styles of wrestling?
Squirrel tactics. I'm not a self-defense guy in any way whatsoever. I worry about the one day I actually have to defend myself. I did a lot of boxing growing up with my friends, and I was in a youth boxing league when I was my dad was in the Navy, and we did some stuff through the MWR, and I got to do some youth boxing stuff. So if I ever am in a situation I have to defend myself, I hope those instincts kick in the right time.
Okay, nice. Yes. And then, hey, I see that you have done a few different characters and played different roles in wrestling. And I see one now, something about the artist formerly known as Rashard Tyson, something like that.
Yeah, that is correct. Something I'm doing at Peak Sports Entertainment in Everett, Washington. Shout out to Peak Sports Entertainment. Kind of a character exclusive to that promotion, but you know, one day if it ever gets the opportunity to go somewhere else, I'll definitely take it on the road. But yeah, it's kind of like my magnum opus of all my angst and anxiety rolled up into the perfect cross between the Phantom of the Opera and the Black Swan. It's probably my biggest project of the year up to this point.
Nice. And you also, you're the character, the Counselor Coleman at the SOS here in town?
That is also correct. Yeah, that character is a lot of fun. Camp Counselor Coleman and, you know what, shout out to SOS Pro Wrestling too, because those two promotions in particular give me a lot of opportunities that I wouldn't have gotten elsewhere. Yeah, welcome to camp, s'mores, boogie boards, mandatory camp activities, hiking. Camp Counselor Coleman does not mess around. He's all about business when it comes to mandatory camp activities.
Sweet. Okay. Now, in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? And that includes VHS tape, internet, or live.
Oh, man. I can dive down that. Probably some stuff from Japan. The match that I always reference, if I ever like say my favorite matches, it's one of two. It's either John Cena versus CM Punk at Money in the Bank in Chicago. I forgot the year off the top of my head, but that's probably my favorite match of all time. I remember the first match that I ever like lost my mind to and like was like, oh, this is it. This is like one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. It was Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. Like, that match just, like, I'll never forget watching that live. That was probably the greatest match I've ever seen in my entire life. Those two are such good storytellers. Outside of the Fed, though, like I've seen a lot of New Japan recently, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what match it was specifically, but for sure something with either Great Muta or Misawa, one of those two in particular. I just love watching New Japan wrestling to see how those guys work and operate.
Okay. And then, of course, now we're excited to hear about your most memorable matches you've been involved in.
Oh, man. That is a good question. The first one off the top of my mind, I went one-on-one with Drexel, the Homicidal Artist, about a year ago at Reactivate Pro Wrestling. It was on my birthday. Or no, it wasn't on my birthday. It was like a month after my birthday, and I remember I had a foam hashtag with, like, thumbtacks, like, glued to it, and Drexel gave me a pile driver onto that thing. It was nuts. That match was so violent. Either that one or I just recently had a match with Steve Miggs at SOS. And, you know, we went in there. It was, like, a little later on the card, so, like, we were definitely not old man tired. I needed a nap before I went into that. That match was a lot of fun. Those two matches in particular, I'm really proud of, I'm really happy that I've had those two matches in particular, especially with Miggs. Like, Miggs is so fun to work with. I want to run that back again one of these days.
Definitely. Okay. And then let me see, who are your favorite people to work with?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. That is a tough question. You know, I've been recently breaking out into Canada, and a lot of those guys up north they're so talented, so, so talented. Tara Zepp, the Vile Villain, shout out to Tara, by the way, super underrated in the area. She is so creative. I had a lot of fun working with her. And then I just recently worked with Taryn from accounting. She was also just a blast to work with, and probably one of the hardest hitters I've ever been in the ring with. There's also this gentleman by the name of Bryce Lowe, the gambler in Canada. The past year, I've had almost a budding rivalry with him, and I'm pretty sure at this point, probably my biggest rival in my career. Outside of Canada, though, Steve Miggs, like I said earlier, so much fun to work with. The Homicidal Artist, Drexel, so much fun to work with. Amira out of Oregon, she's probably going to be one of the biggest stars in this area. Hopefully a big company swoops her up before it's too late. Now, I don't think it ever will be too late, but, man, she is like a top-notch athlete, though. She's a lot of fun to work with. I feel like I'm missing someone. Oh, yeah, there's this guy named Draco up north, the Hillbilly Hound Dog. If you guys ever get the opportunity, look him up. Look him up, the Hillbilly Hound Dog Draco. But he was probably my biggest test up at that point, and, man, I loved working with him. I could literally wrestle that guy every month if I had the opportunity, maybe even every week. Like, we had a lot of fun just beating the hell out of each other.
Cool, okay. And then, hey, speaking of Canada, man, people don't understand the fathom of wrestling in Canada. The fans there are different. And then just the whole thing, wrestling is like a religion up there. It's one of their top sports. You know what I mean? It's like, is it different than American? It's almost the same type of religion as Mexico has with wrestling in Mexico. People don't see it that way, though. They only think that Mexicans are really crazy about it. They don't know how crazy Canadians are.
Yeah, and it's crazy because even how they approach training is on a whole new level. I had the opportunity to train at the Lionsgate Dojo, and the way that my schedule usually lines up, I train under Nicole Matthews and sometimes Artemis Spencer, and just how they approach training is so different. And it translates to the culture, and which translates to the fan base. I've worked maybe five or six different promotions in Canada up to this point, and let me tell you, those fans are diehard. There's only two shows in the states that I've been to that have even a similar fan base, and that is DOA and Defy. I'm sure Prestige is up there as well too. I may have made a Prestige show yet though. But the dedication to the fan base, and then and again, these like the differentiating talent levels at all these promotions, it's still the fan base of how crazy they are about wrestling up there. You're just like you said, Mike. It is exactly like a religion up there. Like they follow all their favorite shows, they follow all their favorite wrestlers, they follow the schedule to make sure that like that they're at each show and that they buy merchandise each show. And like the reaction from the crowd is so, you can't fake it. Like you can't like, it's very authentic. Either they like you or they hate you or you will get nothing. Like they let you know with how they like the wrestling up north. It's a whole new world up there. I'm so glad to even be up there and doing what I'm doing right now.
Exactly. Okay. Hey, at this time, my co-host Sign Guy, that I'm blessed to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil with him every Sunday at 1 o'clock Pacific. Sign Guy still does his own thing on Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific. Have we got a chance to get you on Turnbuckle Turmoil yet, there, Broussard?
Yeah, I think I was on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Man, I was on there like 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Okay. Let me turn you over to Sign
and
Nick. All right, let me turn you over to Sign, and then I got a few more questions after that, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have to get you back. It's been way too long, Rashad. But
I know, Sign Guy, man. I know. How have you been, bro? I miss hearing your voice.
I'm doing all right, and I enjoy seeing your progress. You've been tearing it up in Canada, but one of the places that you work here in the lower 48 United States, Combat Pro Wrestling presents theatrical wrestling. There has been the ongoing war between Team Jeff and Team Yvonne for years now. You've been at the forefront of the war. Can you tell the people a little bit on where you fall in that war and what you think of what's happening with that so far?
Well, I mean, this is definitely a rivalry that, like, has spanned numerous years between Team of Jeff and Team of Yvonne. And, you know, I think for the most part, it's definitely torn friends from each other. It's torn tag teams apart. It's divided alliances. It's made you kind of think about whose side am I really on, you know, the last combat show too, it was, you could definitely tell that it was taking its toll on everyone as well too. As far as where my allegiance is concerned, I started off Team Yvonne, but as far as I'm concerned, it's Team Jeff all the way because Jeff pays me more. And as far as I'm concerned too, whatever Dustin wants, Dustin gets. If you guys don't know who Dustin is the, I think he's the middle child or the youngest child. I'm not 100% sure. But Dustin is the son of Yvonne and Jeff and the future owner of Combat Pro Wrestling. And I will ensure that future reign as the full owner and operator of Combat Pro goes uninterrupted and transitions very well. I hope that answered that.
It does. And Dustin also has been going to the ring with you lately. He got a little bit physically involved in the last match you had at Combat. How does it make you feel when you see the future owner getting physically involved in the matches, and sometimes that does not work out for him?
Well, first and foremost, Dustin, even in his age, still has more wisdom and wherewithal of ring awareness than most guys have been in this business for 10, 20 years. The fact that he is already doing this now is a strong testament to his future usurpship of power in the company. Now, it may not always work out. I'm looking out for him. I want to make sure that Dustin has the brightest of futures in this business. And, you know, there are always some, what's the word, growing pains, no pun intended. But as far as I'm concerned, I trust everything that Dustin does. I trust everything that Team Jeff does. I trust everything that Jeff does himself as well, too. So with that being said, Dustin knows what he's doing, and he has my full support in everything he does.
Now, prior to Dustin really coming to the ring with you, you had a cactus that was near and dear to you. We haven't seen the cactus in a while. What's the status of your cactus?
Let me tell you what happened to that cactus. I lost custody of that cactus to one Tomcat Jones. Cactus Jeff will return to me soon, and when he does, the Real Talk Show will be back in full effect. With that being said, I hope that Tomcat Jones is listening to this, and I hope that Tomcat Jones is taking care of Cactus Jeff.
Hopefully he does not overwater Cactus Jeff. Now, you have been wrestling long enough to know that in our industry, one of the things that can vary show to show is the quality of the actual physical wrestling ring. You have different sizes of rings. Some have steel cables encased in rubber. Some of them use real rope. The posts can be made in different dimensions. Some of them are low to the ground. Some of them are very high off the ground. Some use planks. Some use 2x4s. Do you have a personal favorite physical ring in which you wrestle?
There's not one particular ring that I would say I enjoy wrestling in. Like, personally, I love the variety of the different rings. I think it kind of adds more to your game to be able to wrestle in different types of rings, between cables, ropes, 16s, 18s, 20s, low risers, high boys. Like, there's not one particular ring that I, like, enjoy wrestling in, per se, as far as, like, performing in front of a crowd. In a training scenario, though, I would be remiss if I didn't say how much I enjoy training in the Lionsgate Dojo ring. I've gotten really used to a little fun story. I learned how to springboard at the Lionsgate Dojo training ring. So as far as training is concerned, I love training in that ring. As far as, like, show-to-show basis, there's not one particular ring that I love wrestling in. I love the variety of it. If I had, like, a couple rings off the top of my head that I loved competing in, the Peak Sports Entertainment ring, the SOS ring, and the DOA ring, those three rings, I got really good at doing what I'm doing right now and translating that into those three rings. But like I said, it's not one particular ring that I'm like, oh, I love wrestling in this ring, but I love the variety.
One of the big fads in wrestling right now is wrestlers getting into the coffee business as well. We've seen the big national wrestlers like Claudio Castagnoli and Danhausen, Rosemary, all get involved in the coffee business. We're seeing it at the independent level now. Diafula Debashi has a coffee that he produces. Grappler Ford just getting his foot in the door in the coffee business as well. There's many, many others. What do you think of this trend where wrestlers also are getting into coffee sales?
I encourage entrepreneurship of anyone. If you have a taste for coffee, by all means. I'm not much of a coffee drinker. I'm kind of an energy drink guy, but if I do dabble into coffee, love me a good black coffee, maybe add a shot of espresso in there. But yeah, I'm all for coffee coffee in the wrestling business and wrestlers making their own coffee brands and finding their own unique beans. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you introduced me to Danhausen's coffee a few years ago.
Indeed so, yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a good coffee.
He does make a good coffee. Now, one of the things that also has hit our industry in the last few months is WWE sold their company to TKO and the McMahon family for the first time in many, many decades are no longer affiliated with that company. That later became sort of a big deal when the Vince McMahon scandal broke out. But looking at the landscape of things as they sit, do you think that the sale of WWE to TKO is going to trickle down to the independent level and change the industry as a whole? Or do you think that the wrestling industry will continue largely as it is right now, regardless of who owns that company?
I think it's too early to say what the trickle-down effect of the merger is going to, how it's going to affect the independent circuit. I do know that it has affected the independent circuit just off of seeing guys like Nick Nemeth and Mustafa Ali coming down from the Fed to the independent circuit and just absolutely killing it as they should. It's interesting because, like, I've always been kind of worried about, like, you know, the monopolization of, like, smaller companies into one big one. And, you know, if that's what we're seeing the transition to, I do hope that independent companies don't lose ownership of their own product and their own company. You know, and, like, I feel like if there's going to be any sort of, like, big effect as far as, like, the culture of how business is operated, I definitely think it's going to be looking into your roster and how you keep them and how you make them happy and how you continue to keep fans. And, you know, I think I think that WWE is doing a great job in the transition. I do think the Vince McMahon scandal was very unfortunate, and I'm glad that they've made the efforts to kind of fix of what they try to fix that. It's such a blemish on the business. Like, I low-key kind of hate Vince for what he did. I definitely do hate Vince for what he did. But hopefully it doesn't affect us down at our level. As far as, like, people come to shows to bust in seats. But for right now, I think it's too early to tell what the full effects of that merger, how it's going to affect us at our level. We'll question in like a year or two, and I'll give you a proper response.
Fair enough. I will make a note of it. Now, one of the things going on in wrestling also is, of course, WrestleMania season. And every year, whenever WrestleMania is held, promotions from all over the country will descend upon whatever city it's being held in, and they will sort of piggyback off of WrestleMania with their own shows and conventions. Do you personally think that independent wrestling should travel to WrestleMania and try to run shows there, or do you think that it's easier just to stay in your own area and try to build up your own area?
I think it's both sides of it. For the exposure, it's always nice to see your promotion have a show in another city, maybe even another state. That I think is good for the promotion, I understand. On the flip side of it, though, like, WrestleMania weekend, it's just as big of a weekend for the people who can't go to WrestleMania and spend the money to do that as it is for the people who are staying and trying to put on a show for people who are actually living in the area. I'm a big believer, like, you know, the people that are already there, the people that are, that want to spend their money to go to your shows, treat them right. You know, maybe having a show in your hometown during WrestleMania weekend is the best way to pay it forward to the ones who love this business and can, you know, afford to go to WrestleMania. You know, why not give them a WrestleMania-level show right there and in their hometown? It's both sides of it. It's definitely both sides. That might be a question you've asked me in a year or two, too.
You have wrestled the last several months a lot in Canada, as we discussed, but oftentimes wrestlers will have international goals and they like to go all over the place, be it somewhere in Europe or to Japan or Puerto Rico, wherever the case may be. Do you have at this point any hopes of wrestling in other international areas?
I'm glad I made it to Canada. I feel like it's just the beginning. Three countries off the top of my head. I want to go to Mexico. I want to go to Japan. And I want to go to England. Those three places in particular. One day. Little advice I got from when I first started off in this business. Wrestling ain't cheap. So how I get there is the next step. But those three countries, Mexico, Canada, or Mexico, Japan, and England are all on my radar. You know, just resting in Canada gave me the itch to want to travel more as much as I possibly can.
Obviously, all three of the countries you named have a very distinct style that is very different from one another. And all three of them are, again, different from the style in the U.S. and Canada, which are the most similar as far as styles go. Do you ever train in some of the international styles, like the Lucha style or the British style, to be ready for that tour?
I don't train actively in those styles. I have done a couple Thursday classes at Lionsgate under Artemis Spencer, and we did do a couple lucha drills, and we did a little bit of like lucha training. It's definitely a whole new world. It's something that I definitely have done. That's also part of why I want to go down to Mexico. I want to go down to Mexico to have the opportunity to train like that. That'd be so fun. Same thing with Japan. Same thing with England. Just to go there and train the way they do just sounds like so much fun.
One of the more unfortunate parts of our industry is that if you're in it for very long, you eventually will have that occasional injury, whether it's something small that you can wrestle through until it heals, or something major that takes you out of the sport for however long a period. But it's the nature of what we do. What are some of the injuries at this point you've suffered in your career?
Oh, wow. I've been really fortunate enough to, like, not get injured as much of the crazy stuff that I do in the ring. Although, like, a couple weeks ago, I did a Swanton bomb, and I landed on my left ankle so bad that I had to walk out. They had to, like, tape my foot up and go figure. I was, like, wrestling barefoot. But yeah, I've been fortunate enough to like not get injured as often as I do in this business, or as often as I could potentially get injured in this business. Yeah, I've knock on wood, I have dodged that injury bug very, very carefully. So yeah, no, I don't have thank goodness.
I would like to see that streak continue. So if you would continue to not be injured, I would appreciate that.
You and me both.
One of the roles in pro wrestling that oftentimes people overlook as far as importance is the role of the ring announcer. they're responsible for not only directing fans on where to spend their money by promoting the merchandise and the websites and everything where fans go to pay money for the company, but they also ensure that the fans know who is who, and they set the stage. They're often rightly or wrongly who the fans believe are the authority within a promotion. Who do you think are some of the better ring announcers out there that you've encountered?
Oh, boy. Off the top of my head, Stevie Baynox out of Oregon. Stevie is the voice of DOA. She has been, and the voice of Pow Pro Wrestling. She's been all up and down the Pacific Northwest. I think she's made her way to Nevada and California recently as well. She's great. I think she is a cut above the rest as far as ring announcers because she did take an opportunity to get training, and she also so she understands what it's like to be in the ring to an extent. She's also very hands-on behind the scenes, trying to get everyone's information as much as she possibly can, making sure she pronounces people's names correctly. The fact that she goes above and beyond to be as professional as possible is a very refreshing thing to see in this business. Because like I've met a couple of ring announcers who didn't take it very professional, and it was just very – you could tell the quality difference. But, yeah, Stevie is, in my experience – as of recent, one of the better ring announcers in the area for sure.
Another role that oftentimes doesn't get fully appreciated is the role of the referee, and they not only can make a good match better if they know what they are doing, if they are not properly trained and don't know what they're doing, they can make a good match very, very bad in a hurry. They also often are able to lead the younger wrestlers without anyone knowing that the younger wrestlers are being led at all. I know you've seen a lot of referees in your day, and I'm sure to varying degrees of competence and skill level. Who are some of the better ones out there that you think deserve more praise, more bookings?
Well, first and foremost, you, Son Guy. I can't imagine anyone else that I wouldn't even like.
Okay.
Like, can we give Son Guy's flowers, please? Can we give Son Guy's flowers, please?
Yes, okay, yes.
I appreciate. I wasn't feeding for that, but I appreciate it.
Hey, let's go. Outside of Son Guy, though. Man, like, okay, first and foremost, I genuinely mean that. Like, Son Guy's got, like, a great mind for this business. I don't think he gets enough credit for that either. And I've heard that he is also a very competent wrestler when he wants to be. So I will also give him his flowers for that. With that being said, a couple referees off the top of my head. Referee Mark out of Canada. That guy's great. One of the Lionsgate Dojo students. Devin Campbell out of the Buddy Wayne Academy, probably one of the most professional referees out there, markets himself very well. There's a new referee who's coming out of Dragonplex. His name is Damian Myers. He goes by the Tattooed Ref. But that guy is in better shape than half the wrestlers he referees matches for. So, you know, wrestlers listening to this, step your game up, because if Damian Myers is looking more jacked than you, you're probably not doing it right. But yeah, just those four names off the top of my head. And you know, it's funny because like all four of those referees bring something different to the table, and your match will be good, but then knowing that they can also be a part of it in different ways can make your match better. I've been fortunate enough to not have any crappy referees recently. I had a really bad experience back in October with this one referee. They will remain nameless, but they are literally the worst referee I've ever worked with, and I will stand by that for a very long time. They're literally the worst referee I've ever worked with. And, you know, but as far as, like, Sign Guy, Damien, Devin, and Mark, like, those four referees, like, I love those guys as far as, like, professionalism, and knowing what they're doing and being competent in the ring. Like, give all four of those guys their flowers. More specifically, give Sign Guy his flowers first.
At some point in time during most wrestlers' careers, they will start to think of what they would do if they ran their own show and potentially think of starting their own company. Have you at any point given thought on potentially down the road running your own company?
I have given thought of running my own company, and that is the plan in about 10 years. I want to bring wrestling back to Bellingham. I want to run every Friday night, downtown Bellingham, a small two-hour show every single Friday night. That is the goal. That is the dream. That is the end game. How I get there is a whole different story, but when it's all said and done, when I'm ready to hang it up and when I have the experience to hopefully become a credible person to say, hey, I can help you with some basic training, I would love to open up some sort of small school in Bellingham and also run Friday shows concurrent to that. It's the dream, though. Maybe 15 years, maybe 10 years, but not anytime soon. Not while I'm chasing this. I still have so much more traveling to do. I still have so many more matches I have to have, so many more titles I still need to win. But down the road, that is definitely the dream.
When you're looking down that road and you're thinking of those Friday shows in Bellingham, are you compiling a list of things that you see on other shows that you want to incorporate into your own? Are you looking at talent that, if they're still there in 10 years, you want to incorporate into your own promotion, or maybe even the opposite of that?
I've definitely, I've been fortunate enough to work close to 20 different promotions in my time in this business, probably even more. I'd have to, like, make a list. I've learned a lot of good. I've learned a lot of bad. I've learned a lot of how to talk to people, how not to talk to people, how to interact with fans, how not to interact with fans, how to make sure your wrestlers can sell their merchandise and make money outside of their original payout. Like, I've definitely been taking notes. Like I said, too, it's still down the road for that dream to come to full fruition. But when it does, I'll have a game plan set, and I'll definitely have a strong idea of what I need to do to make sure that dream gets met.
Well, as Coach said, he does have some more questions, so I'm going to pass things right back to the coach with the most.
Absolutely.
All right.
Appreciate it, fine guy.
So, hey, let's do a thing we called word association. I'll list a wrestler, and you give the first reaction you get from their name, or if you have to explain it, that's fine, too. Ethan H.T.
All right. All caps.
Steve Miggs.
Verified.
J.D. Mason.
Ninja Turtle.
Scotty Mack.
Apex.
Havoc.
Oh, man. Flips.
Nick Wayne.
The Prodigy.
Dave Turner.
Dad. My first dad.
Ryzik.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Ryzik.
Oh. The perfect man.
Chase James.
Spokane's favorite son.
Davashi.
Fishhook.
And then Michelle Starr.
Underrated.
Okay, nice. And then Who are some up-and-comers that people should keep their eye on?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Because, like, I don't know who do you consider, like, an up-and-comer at this point. Because, like, the first guys they're going to say were, like, the Flamin' Aces, but, like, they're already everywhere. Like, the Flamin' Aces, Joey Tran out of out of Lionsgate, Joey Tran, Magnum Mel out of Lionsgate, the Moral Panic, Ren Yoshino and Tommy Chan out of Lionsgate, Giovanni Amore out of Lionsgate, and all these guys are still in year one, so I definitely want to make sure that like they get some recognition for how hard they've been working. Christian X out of Dragonplex, that kid's amazing. Blackheart Ren out of Dragonplex, that kid's amazing. Lucy Locks and Zelda out of Dragonplex, those two are amazing. Those two are probably the best kept secrets coming out of Dragonplex right now. They definitely need to get some more eyes on them. Everyone coming out of Oregon Wrestling School right now, this Oregon's pumping out some of the best students in the area. Patrick Tully and Tristan Marquis and out of SOS Grit City, those two are doing great. Luis, my boy Luis out of Grit City, man, Luis is so underrated in this area. I swear, if people got their eyes on Luis, like they would see that he has like the X factor that's going to elevate your product. Like, give that guy an opportunity. Give that guy a shot. I've been keeping my eye on some of the students coming out of Relentless right now. I haven't met a lot of them face-to-face, but I can tell that Chase James is doing a good job making sure that the future of Spokane is looking nice and bright. Sorry, I just rattled off a bunch of names at you, but just some of those off the top of my head for sure.
Right on. Okay, and then this next segment is called Favorites. Tell the fans what your favorite coffee is.
Oh, man, my favorite coffee is a red eye. Give me a black coffee with, like, 2-3 shots of espresso in it.
And you get that at Starbucks or where?
I usually go to Woods Coffee. No creamer, no sugar, just straight caffeine.
Okay, and then what's been your favorite concerts that you've seen?
Funny story, I have actually never been to a concert before. Never been to music before.
Okay. Okay, there you go. And then you mentioned, like, New England Patriots, the Sonics, and the Seahawks, but what else? What other teams have been your favorite sports teams?
Definitely the New England Patriots off the top of my head. I've been a big Miami Heat fan when Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal were there back in the day, and Alonzo Mourning. I support the Sounders. I don't watch any of their games, but I support them. Seahawks, obviously, from back in, like, the Warren Moon and then the Sean Alexander and Matt Hasselbeck days, and even Legion of Boom, Russell Wilson days. That was definitely my, like, ride-or-die team, opposite of the Patriots. Other than that, though, I'm kind of a bandwagon guy. Love me the Kansas City Chiefs. Go Patrick Mahomes. Two more rings.
Okay. And then, let's see, in your career, who have been some of your toughest opponents? I can see that you got a really tough opponent coming up, but so far, who have been your toughest opponents you faced?
Oh, man. The first guy that will always pop up in my head when people ask me who my toughest opponents are is going to be the demigod of death, Funny Bone. That guy is all intensity. If not Funny Bone, the homicidal artist, Drexel. Drexel pushed me to a limit and taught me just different things of hardcore wrestling and how violent we can be. Recently, there's this guy by the name of Draco that I mentioned earlier up in Canada. Definitely one of the toughest people I've faced. I definitely want to run that back again. And then also got this guy by the name of Jordy Taylor in Canada at Vancouver Island Pro. That guy is very underrated. I hope he made it back down to the States, but he was probably my tougher opponent as well too. All fun, but just all kinds of tough.
Okay, awesome. And let's see, what do you got coming up?
Oh man, so on Friday I have SOS pro wrestling. I'm going to be going, my doppelganger, Camp Counselor Coleman, will be going up against JC Jr. in the semifinals of the Sun of the Beach tournament. For the Sun of the Beach tournament. Saturday, I have All-Star Wrestling. I'm going to be in the dark match against one Mr. Battle Royal. And then I'll be appearing on the main show in an undisclosed segment that will be a surprise for everyone. And then Sunday, I have a show in Everett at Peak Sports Entertainment. That's going to be myself and my good friends, The Moral Panic, against The Academy and One Gordon. Then next week is going to be Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling against BJ Laredo in an Anarchy Rules match for the Anarchy Rules title. That's going to be a lot of fun. Got some stuff coming up at Boom Pro Wrestling. Shout out to Boom Pro Wrestling in Vancouver. Got some stuff coming up in WrestleCore as well, too, in Vancouver as well. Shout out to WrestleCore. I got a lot of dates filling up. Combat Pro Wrestling as well at the end of the month. Reactivate Pro Wrestling. You guys are going to be hearing this first. It hasn't been announced yet, but in about 2 weeks at Reactivate Pro Wrestling, I will be competing against Su Young. So that will be a lot of fun.
Nice, yes.
Yeah, so I got a full calendar coming up pretty soon. I'm trying to keep my dates filled as much as I possibly can. Trying to make sure I balance wrestling and training as much as I possibly can, too.
Right on. Okay, and then what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Find a school that has a good reputation and just start. And don't let anything stop you. If you have to take the bus to get to practice, go. If you have to, and then go to shows. Go to as many shows as you possibly can. Go to as many shows as you possibly can. Help out with whatever you can. Talk to as many people as you possibly can. Stay humble. Ask questions. Keep learning. Don't act like you know everything. You don't. I don't know everything. Even if you are a year in, you don't know everything. Even if you're 5 years in, you don't know everything. Even if you're 10, 20 years in, you don't know everything. This business always evolves. If anyone who wants to get into this business, I just tell them, find a school near you that you can train at. Go to the gym as much as you possibly can. Shut your mouth when you're talking to a veteran who's trying to give you advice, because that's probably advice that's going to help you get better. And just stay humble. Stay humble and stay hungry.
Awesome. Okay, and then what other schools would you like to suggest for people? You mentioned some, but give us a shout-out for some schools again.
Yeah, if you are in the Canada area, Surrey, Vancouver, check out Lionsgate Dojo. I do believe there's a tryout coming up pretty soon. If you are in the Everett, North Seattle area, check out Dragonplex Dojo. They are also having a tryout pretty soon. If you're in the Tacoma area, the Grit City SOS Pro Wrestling Academy, give them a tryout. Ethan HD is the head coach there. He's probably one of the most credible coaches in the area. If you're in the Spokane area, Relentless Pro Wrestling School, Chase James runs that. He runs a great promotion. He runs a great school. A lot of the students are already making their rounds, and they're all less than a year in, but they are very good. They are very hungry, and they are very talented. And if you are in the Oregon area, one of the best schools in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon Pro Wrestling School. I forget what part of Oregon it's in. I know it's close to Portland, but give them a shout out. Ricky Gibson and Eddie Pro run that school. They have so many standout talents coming out of there. Guys like Charlie Avell, the Hammer Bros, the Flamin' Aces, Amira, Stephen Bradley, Frankie Dove. The list goes on. Give them a shout out. Just those four schools off the top of my head for sure. I know I'm missing a couple. I know Northwest Pro and JD Mason have an ongoing training opportunity for anyone in the area as well. So hit up JD Mason if you're looking for training. All those places would be
definitely awesome
opportunities for anyone trying to break into the business.
Thank you so much, brother. And last but not least, how do people get a hold of you, brother?
Oh, easy. You can find me at The Rashad Tyson on Instagram, Twitter, X, and Facebook, The Rashad Tyson. Instagram, Twitter, X, and Facebook, and on YouTube at Real Talk Blog. Other than that, though, you can catch me at any of these local shows that I mentioned earlier. You can find me on Brainbuster Tees at Real Talk with Shad Tyson and at Pro Wrestling Tees at Real Talk with Shad Tyson. Other than that, though, if you want to reach out and try to book your boy, just find me on any of those platforms. And you can also find me at any of these local shows coming up pretty soon.
Thanks again, man. We appreciate your time, your interview, your story. I wish you all the luck in the world, and I appreciate it so much. And Sign Guy, would you like to say anything?
I will see you later this month, and I love you, and keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great.
I love you guys, too. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor. It was a pleasure. Definitely will be back soon. Sign Guy, hit me up about Turnbuckle Turmoil. Coach Mike, thank you for everything. That's so much fun.
Love you, man. Thanks. Yes, definitely. All right, Sign Guy, thank you also for your time, brother. You let everybody know what you got going. We see that you just dropped another Sign of the Times.
I did. It is up on the YouTubes now. Just got it up there. Friday on the show, we have Spoiled Princess from Combat Pro Wrestling, manager of my co-host, the good son, Andrew Michelson. On Sunday, we have our retry for 1-2-3, 1-2-3 day, referees from all over the country converging to discuss that aspect of the business. You can find me 1 week from this coming Saturday in Vaughan, Washington at Northwest Pro. On the 30th, I'll be back at Combat Pro in Linwood, Washington. And don't forget, I am officially signed to be at Paulcade 5, April 21st, at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Awesome.
Hey.
Okay, nice. Thank you so much, Sign. Yes, we appreciate everybody and your guys' feedback and love and support. You guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. And I'm blessed to have Sign Guy on with me probably half the time. So we really appreciate that. And I'm blessed to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil Sundays at 1 with Sign Guy. And then also my schedule coming up March 9th, I got King Dale Houston next week. The 16th, I got Matt Sigmund. On the 23rd, I got Rudy Boy Gonzalez. And on the 30th of March, I've got Greg, the Golden Boy Anthony. So I'm looking forward to that. Want to thank all you guys for listening, and we appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Here is the Never Were with the Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song with Joe Love. Thank you.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones. Everybody say Coach Mike Jones.